I'm a park ranger and I dig danger, dream of it night and day. And God willing, I'd be out killing people who get in my way.
That's right, kiddies. Time for our producer, illustrious producer, John Winters. That's what that music is all about. Before we get to him, I just want to apologize to the listening audience that have endured this hour with us. We had some technical difficulties at the top of the hour, and obviously everything came crashing around our ears, as it were. But a testament to the quality of folks that work on this program, from Derek Brandeo to our very own Stephen Labadie, Andrew Holland, and all the rest of the people for getting us back up and operational. And here we are now with the man himself, Jonathan T. Winters. Good morning, Johnny.
How are you guys this morning after the chaos?
Oh, we're just absolutely wonderful, Johnny.
I need
it's a perfect world. We're living the dream, buddy. We're living the
dream. Well, I knew that.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyways, so have we talked to you? Yeah, we talked to you since you came back from Jamaica, didn't we? Yes, last week.
Yeah,
no, I just want to bring myself
for a couple of weeks.
I want to bring myself back up to speed because I just it's important that I know what we're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are you going to the RV show this weekend?
No. No, I won't be there this year, but it's a good gig. And one of the things I will say that I learned from attending that show over many years is how pumped up mums get at the show. When they walk through some of those RVs and they contemplate how they camp today and how they could camp in the future, they look at it and they say, this is what we need. This would be good for us. Because there's a lot of work. There's a lot of work in camping, and as soon as you get the type of unit that fits your budget with the amenities that you need, it becomes an awful lot easier.
The only thing that disturbs me about that comment, and I have to point out, because I'm sure there's listeners who are in their living room right now or in their car saying, how come you just noticed the mums, is my question to you.
Well, I mentioned the mums because it's the mums that generally are responsible for the kids on the campsite and the mud that's in the tent and putting kids to bed and getting kids fed.
Nice.
We can say that it's equal across the board. You know it's not. This is,
what do you mean it's not?
An improvement for mums. So there.
I'm just pulling your leg. Anyways.
I know.
Ministry of Natural Resources announces that it's changing the moose management here in Ontario, and God only knows it's been long overdue. What do you think of this?
Well, it's kind of interesting because, I commend the Big Game Management Advisory Committee and John Kaplanis from Northwestern Ontario for taking it on. It was a big job. They had 7 open houses, the mail-in comments. They consulted with First Nations, ministry biologists, hunters. 2,000 submissions. They posted everything for public comment. They got the comments, and the changes occur this year and next. They're finally recognizing, and when I say they, everyone is finally recognizing that you can't have a general calf harvest across the province and expect to maintain a robust moose population. And so there's going to be controls on the calf harvest, and the price of a tag will vary according to the type of tag you get. It costs you more for a bull tag than a cow-calf tag or a calf tag. And
the
other interesting piece in this, Angelo, is, for those who hunted moose, you would hear consistently, we just can't get a tag. Our group can't get a tag. But the other group has had a bull tag for 4 years in a row or what have you, and that came up repeatedly. And I guess it's the luck of the draw, but the ministry is going to pull that back, and basically the way it'll work in the future is you'll get points. There's a point system. So if you had a bull tag this year, you're much less likely to get one next year, and those who didn't get a tag will have more points, and they are more likely to get a bull tag, which is what most hunters want.
So it'd be like me at home, because I'm on a point system at home with the Countess. It's much the same way the bull tag thing works. So I understand
a little bit, except
it's a good system.
From what I understand, you're in a points deficit almost constantly. And you should be.
Yeah.
You should be.
There should be a place where you can buy points. Have you ever wondered about that? There should be a place where you can actually go with real money and buy. If you're in a deficit position, like you just mentioned, you should be able to go and buy some points. Oh,
well,
there is.
Yeah.
That's right. It's called the People's Jewelers.
That's a jewelry store. Or you go to Jamaica and you take your wife with you. All of those earn you points. So the problem is that the redemption on them is really quick. It lasts about 24 hours.
Like, you have to be a frequent flyer to use those babies up before they expire, in other words.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Now,
One last thing on the whole moose management system. Here's the part that just didn't seem to come forward in all of this, which I think should have. I think it's really important. And this was not in the announcement, and it has to do with the way that we survey moose in Ontario, the moose survey methodology. And it's been noted many times by many different people that have looked at this, and that is, we don't know what the Aboriginal harvest, the First Nation harvest, is for moose in Ontario, and it's in no one's best interest to not get that information. It's not in the best interest of First Nations as the moose population shrinks and as part of their traditional harvest. We need to know that if we're going to try and conserve and manage moose in a proper way. And that didn't come out in any of the material that I read online about this decision.
Oh, that's I wanted to say earlier on when I was trying to jump in there, but you kind of ruined it for me. I wanted to say for folks who might not be familiar with what John's talking about in terms of calf harvest, up until now, from my understanding, any hunter who was in the field that came upon a calf could take that calf without any consequences. And we've always, a lot of us in the business have always said, well, like, why? Like, that, like, it doesn't make any sense. And obviously now that's being addressed, and it's about time. Now, you say that there's a limited calf harvest, John?
It's going to depend on the management unit, but it starts out with a calf tag allocation, very much like a bull or cow tag allocation. So basically the numbers will determine, the population numbers will determine how many tags, and there will be a tag for calves. As you mentioned, the default was if I didn't get a bull tag, didn't get a cow tag, then I could hunt calves if I was legally hunting moose. And that's going to start to shift, and it looks to me like the future will be there will be a tag for every animal that's harvested.
So let me understand something, because this, you might have just brought something up that I didn't even know. So are you telling me that up until now, even if you did not have a tag for a bull or a cow, you could go out and hunt a calf anyways?
In most management units, there were a few where there were restrictions on the calf harvest.
Wow, that's craziness. That's insanity. I'm glad we got that one in check. Whew. Anyways. All right, my friend. Thank you very much. Always a pleasure. And are you going to the sportsman show in a few weeks?
It depends on whether you invite me. Like last year, I don't recall getting an invitation or tickets or anything.
What I was going to say is, you know, we're doing 50% off tickets on fishingcanada.com for the sportsman show.
Yeah, I'll have to say, buy my own. Holy jeez, 50% off. I'm on a fixed income here, buddy.
Oh, right. Yeah, it's fixed, all right. You fixed it a while ago, for sure. Anyways, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a great weekend.
John Winters, retired park superintendent of Algonquin Park, and now the... now, as if it happened yesterday. Listen to me. I don't know, like 15 years later, I'm saying, and now he is the
brand new
producer for Outdoor Journal Radio.